And welcome back to Innovation. Joining me now from the Janine Basinger studio at South Dakota State University is Stacy Bourne, an assistant professor and licensed play therapist, and Kristen Carrata, an assistant professor of SDSU Department of Counseling and Human Development, and also an SDSU Substance Abuse and Mental Health Services, I am way ahead of myself on here, a family specialist. So thank you both for being with me today.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Thank you. And so a new partnership to improve early childhood mental health care in South Dakota. And that's the headline that grabbed my attention. And I'm wondering, explain this to me. You received a $2.2 million grant to form this partnership. So let's talk a little bit about that and what this partnership looks like.
Absolutely. So Stacy here, and I'm so excited to be here and share the exciting news about the, as you said, $2.2 million over the course of 5 years to bring early childhood mental health screening and workforce development opportunities across the state of South Dakota. And we've partnered with Southeastern Behavioral Health in Sioux Falls and the Interlakes Head Start chapter, which serves essentially the eastern portion of South Dakota's families to be able to really impact our youngest South Dakotans.
Yep, and that includes 14 counties in eastern South Dakota, 10 of which are designated as mental health shortage areas, and 13 have medically underserved communities. So we're really excited to extend our outreach to those groups.
So we're talking about early childhood, so birth to age 5?
Correct.
Mm-hmm. And mental
and their
health,
families.
And their families. And mental health screening, what does that look like for somebody who may not even be able to have, you know, verbally say what they're thinking or feeling?
Absolutely. So mental health screening would really look at the development of the child. So not only in terms of their mental health is encompassed by their social emotional health. So how are they able to express their feelings? Are they able to begin to use words at an appropriate chronological age? What does their physical development look like? Because what we know about children who experience adversity at a young age is oftentimes their development gets stalled. So when we look at those important domains of development, we can see if there's potentially been any difficult events or stressors that have impacted that child's trajectory.
And what we also know is that nationally, it's estimated that anywhere between 9 to about 14% of children from birth to the age of 5 experience emotional or behavioral difficulties. And those numbers go up when we're talking about low-income children and families, and that they're particularly susceptible to some emotional and behavioral challenges.
So talk a little bit about how then do you reach them and help children cope with traumatic events?
Sure. So one of our first goals, and this is where Head Start is going to be an instrumental partner, we are working with Head Start so that every teacher within those 14 counties is going to be screening the children within their classrooms. And the goal of that is to identify children who are in need of additional mental health services. What we know is that mental health early identification and intervention is going to be key in promoting positive outcomes. So our first objective is to help the teachers in those Head Start classrooms to screen, and then we're going to work with them, and Southeastern Behavioral Health will be instrumental in helping us to increase referrals for additional mental health services for those kids.
Give me a quick summary of Head Start and how does a child get placed in a Head Start program? Since we're a state that doesn't have a preschool program, what does Head Start do?
Sure, I can speak broadly to that. To be enrolled in Head Start enrollment, 90% of families need to be at or below federal poverty guidelines. So we're serving families that might not traditionally have access to preschool education because of the financial obligation that goes along with it. So, again, 90% of families meet income guidelines to qualify them for Head Start, and they are receiving then. Some children attend partial day preschool programming. Others attend full day preschool programming. That tends to be community specific.
Okay, and so you basically will get kind of a heads up from the Head Start teacher, yes? You're not going to screen every child in 14 counties.
We are going to screen every child in 14 counties that attend the Head Start programs. Yeah,
that attend
we're really
Head Start.
Proud.
Okay. Okay.
And the teachers are going to be doing completing those screenings. And then, as I mentioned, Southeastern Behavioral Health is going to be helping to assist in making the referrals that are necessary based on those screenings.
So define the mental health in a young child, and what does it need to look like? I mean, sure. For a healthy, mentally healthy child.
Sure. Well, a mentally healthy child also may have, you know, social emotional struggles. That's what the part of the learning process is. So, of course, we look for those healthy social emotional behaviors like sharing, using our words to articulate our needs. But we all know that we have to help children by kind of scaffolding and challenging their development so they can learn those new skills. So a mentally healthy child is responding to their environment, is seeking to have their needs met in a developmentally appropriate way, responds to redirection. As they get, you know, closer to that age of five, they're looking for more quality interactions with their peers, more meaningful interactions with their peers, and are beginning to seek less of that interaction from the caregivers because those peers are becoming important social supports in their lives. Other indicators of mental health and mental wellness would be looking at the ability to form close, important relationships with that attachment or that important caregiver in their life, too. And that could be anything from a teacher to a parent to a close family member.
What we also know with regards to mental health and particularly early childhood is that social emotional learning programs that are evidence-based have been really instrumental in preventative efforts to help children develop positive mental health skills. And particularly the return on investment of the social emotional learning programs is $11 to every $1 spent. So when we met with Head Start in spring, when we were happy and encouraged to hear that they are already implementing an evidence-based social emotional learning program. And when we asked what we could do to further support that prevention effort, we found out that they need some additional assistance in assessing how effectively it's being implemented across teachers and programs. So that's another part of our project, is that we're going to be assisting Head Start and getting some data about how effectively this social emotional learning program is being implemented. The one that they're using is known as Second Step, and it has evidence to show that children who are exposed or who are receiving this curriculum show academic improvements, positive behavioral changes, and also more positive relationships and better ability to manage their emotions. So we're going to help them collect some data initially to figure out how well this is being implemented across their teachers and their programs. We're also going to hold a focus group with their teachers to see what's going well and then what other challenges that they're experiencing. And from there, we'll work as a team to develop a strategic plan to help assist them in more effective implementation of this evidence-based program.
And then how do you roll that out into a wider area? I mean, I'm just following up with what you're saying. Once you develop your strategic plan as to what works and you have all of the data, then you have to figure out how to roll that out, correct?
Sure. So once we develop a strategic plan, and a lot of the details of that are going to depend on what emerges from the focus groups in terms of what challenges the teachers are experiencing. But once we develop that strategic plan, we're going to work with Head Start for the next 3 years to help provide the supports that they need. So that's going to include workshops for their teachers, additional training and education about what exactly is social emotional learning at this age group, and what can we do to support the kids, particularly these kids in Head Start from low-income communities, in their development of these important skills.
So is it fair to say helping small children learn how to cope as young an age as possible is going to benefit them in the long run as they grow, giving them those tools when they're young?
Yeah, absolutely. To piggyback on what Kristen had just said a moment ago, the return on investment for every dollar that we put into early childhood social emotional learning, the return on investment for communities when those children enter the workforce after the age of 18 is $11, because those children have learned to regulate their emotions. They have the capability for self-esteem. They're able to have meaningful relationships and have stayed on likely a healthier trajectory in terms of their cognitive and physical development as well.
We also know that
No, go ahead.
That these We also know that these emotional management skills and relationship management skills, there's research that suggests that they actually contribute to long-term success above and beyond traditional IQ measures. So they're really important.
And are you going to use students at SDSU to help in any of this?
Yeah, so really exciting part of this is that there are two graduate assistants that will be with us through the duration of the project. Each year we'll be able to fund their stipends as well as their tuition as a part of this project. So they'll have the opportunity to be on the ground collecting the data with the Head Start families, attending meetings, learning about the research process and grant management process too. We're really excited.
And the Department of Nursing is involved in this as well?
Yeah, so an important component of our grant is evaluation. Obviously, SAMHSA wants to know a lot about how we're doing in terms of outcomes and meeting our goals and measures. So our lead evaluator is Cynthia Elverson from SDSU's nursing department, who has been an evaluator on a SAMHSA grant in the past. So we are so fortunate to have her on our team for this grant as well.
Okay, so this grant, we just have a few seconds left. And so you're getting started when? Right away?
We are up and running, absolutely. So we got started. Southeastern Behavioral Health is getting ready to send a troop of therapists to get trained in TheraPlay. We are rolling out play therapy curriculum as a part of their workforce development, and we are implementing this play therapy service and assessing our Head Start children as we speak. So we are so excited to be rolling out quite quickly with this.
So you get the grant and you're already ready to go. So did you know it was coming?
We didn't. You know, Kristen and I are third-year faculty, so this is a really exciting project to bring in, a five-year project to take us through the beginning of our career and really make a significant impact on young children and families across the state of South Dakota.
We're also really excited to be partnering with such strong community partners, which include Chris Graham at Southeastern Behavioral Health and Celeste Burroughs, as well as our partnership with Head Start.